Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel lesson, as you have heard read, and the theme this morning, Jesus will never leave you. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, there's a song that was written in 1972. Yes, I'm going to date myself because some of you will have no idea what I'm talking about. But there was a song that was quite popular in 1972. It goes like this, and no, I'm not going to sing it, but I will speak it. It goes like this, the second stanza anyway. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. No one's singing, but you are in your mind, aren't you? Some of you who remember this, when you were in high school in 1972, like I was, this was on the radio all the time. The man was a man by the name of Bill Withers, and it made him famous. A very popular song, but I use this as an introduction because there is one of whom we must lean on. Because we are not always strong, actually we're not strong at all. He says that he'll be our friend, and he is. He's our helper, our advocate, our best friend. He will help us to carry on, which he does through this world of darkness. For he knows that it's not long, that we're going to need someone to lean on. And therefore, you have the Holy Spirit as your helper. It is the Holy Spirit who has come into your lives, dear one, into each and every one of your lives when you were baptized, for many of you right there at that font, or wherever you may have been baptized. That's when your helper came to you. He comes to you in your baptism. As Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, unless you are born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, he comes to us. He comes to us also not only in baptism, but in the preached word, in the written word itself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the words of Jesus. Therefore, we know, as Scripture tells us, that he dwells in us. He is in us as we are in him. As a matter of fact, in the book of 2 Corinthians, which Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says this, "For we are the temples of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." That's what your Lord has done for each and every one of you. But the world cannot understand this. The world cannot discern what these words mean. Because as you heard with our children, the world still lives in darkness, the blackness of sin, of self-centeredness, of narcissism. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, nor can it even understand what the Holy Spirit, who he is. As a matter of fact, they don't even receive Jesus, and they even think that the cross is nothing but foolishness. But to us, it's the power of salvation. Jesus tells his disciples then, as he does today, that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He will abide through us through the Word, which he has inspired. He abides through us in the Word, which he guides you in. He guides you in all truth. My dear brother and sister, each day when you do your devotions, and I hope that you are, each day you should open this book and you should read from it. It's not a It's not a symbol of honor to be sitting on your lampstand drawing dust. No, it should be opened. It should be opened and read. And each time you open and read this word, each time you come to church to hear the preached word, each time you come to the altar to receive the word, he's abiding in you. He's keeping his promise. He always keeps his promise. John writes earlier, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No longer are you bound by the sins of chains. No longer are you bound by the blackness of this world. You've been brought into the marvelous light. You are free. You are free indeed. And it is this word that empowers you to love. There in the upper room, Jesus was comforting his disciples. He was about to leave them. He was going to depart, as he told them. And he told them he would leave visibly. He would leave visibly before their presence. But his promise was that he would send another helper. He would ask his Father, and he would send another helper who would be with them forever, even the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, those words are true, by the way, and they're very important for us. For the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, will never, ever deceive you. What does the Holy Spirit always tell you? He always teaches you about Jesus. He always points you to the cross. He never points you to anything else. I know that in this world there are many people that say that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, but when they come up and preach or to teach, what do they talk about? They talk about themselves. They talk about other people. They never mention Jesus. They never mention the cross. Therefore, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth will tell you the truth because Jesus is the truth, as you heard last week. Never will he mislead you. He will never guide you down the wrong path. Yes, we know that in this world, the world tells us that there is a wide path, and it is a delightful path. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy this life. One day you will die, but so what? Well, the so what is horrendous for the world, because the so what is hell. The Spirit does not lead us down this road. He keeps us on the narrow road, never going too far to the left, never going too far to the right. He keeps us in the Word. This is the truth that the Holy Spirit teaches us, even the gospel itself. It's the unbeliever. It's the unbeliever who refuses to see and to know the work of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why is this? Scripture tells us. However, natural man accepts not the things of the Spirit of God, for to him they are foolishness, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you happen to be in Bible class this morning, I showed you a slide of an unbeliever sitting at a desk and reading God's Word. But it wasn't what you think it may be, because the little caption above this unbeliever's head said, "I don't understand what this says." They will never understand what this says, because that unbeliever, for those in Bible class, as you remember, is a skeleton. They are dead people. They are not alive in the Spirit. And those who are dead to the Spirit cannot understand what they are reading. They cannot understand what they are hearing. Therefore, they're only out. Their only comment, "I don't understand. Therefore, it's not the truth." Only the unbeliever can say this. But we, the believer, we his daughters and sons, we know the truth. And we know that Jesus is our Lord. The Spirit is truly a gift from the Holy Trinity. The Son prays to the Father, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit. All God's work, by the way. Each time we see a baptism, which we will see on the 31st, little Max Ream who right now is living in darkness. God does not know him. But on that glorious day, the Holy Trinity will come to him, and he will wash him clean. He will wash the blackness of sin out of his conscience, and he will give him newness of life. We will see the work of the Holy Trinity on that day. And it is a beautiful thing to see. Therefore, Jesus will not leave you, dear one, as an orphan. He will not leave you alone in this world. In the ancient world, to be an orphan would mean certain death. And if not certain death, it would mean a life of slavery forever. That's not what Jesus tells us. He tells us that in this world, we will face many trials and temptations, but he will come to us. He will not leave us as an orphan. He will give to us the Spirit of truth, who will guide us in all truth. When Jesus ascended to his Father, the world could no longer see him physically. And by the way, the world probably rejoiced because this Jesus, this man of Nazareth, was now out of the way. They wouldn't have to put up with him anymore. But his disciples, Jesus told them, that they would see him spiritually. They would see him by faith, with eyes of faith. And that's you, dear ones. You see Jesus also with eyes of faith. Jesus says, I in you. The presence of Jesus in your life assures you that his grace and his power is living in you and working through your life. And in that work and in that power that he gives, he is sanctifying you, setting you apart, feeding you that pure spiritual milk so that you may live in him forever. It is Jesus who comes to you. Yes, Jesus is about to depart, as he told his disciples. But before him, before his departure, he must go to the cross and there reconcile the world to his Father. Beyond the cross, though, is his victorious resurrection and then his ascension. There in his resurrection, we know that he lives, for he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. There in his resurrection, he is guaranteed to you and me that we too will be resurrected, and that he promises then that he will always be with us. I will come to you, as he tells his disciples. Jesus' promise is that he is always with you. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. There's nothing that can remove him from your life unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and you willfully walk away from God, taking yourself off that narrow path and walking the wide road of destruction. On the last day, then, don't blame God. Blame yourself, because that's where the blame will lay. But the Holy Spirit who lives in you will keep you on the right, true path. Jesus promises, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He does keep his promise. He comes to you in word, and he comes to you in sacrament, the means of grace. It is in the means of grace that you see him working. You see him keeping his promise to you, coming to you, and announcing to you all of the benefits of his kingdom. Jesus tells us, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." That's what the world does. The world rejects Jesus, and in rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting the Father. Therefore, on the last day, the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will reject them. But that's not you. That's not me. That is not us. Because we see with eyes of faith. We see him in the means of grace. Therefore, Jesus gives you hope, dear one. You have this rock-solid hope, this blessed assurance that there is a future for you, and that future is eternal. Because I live, you also will live, Jesus says. Then you shall know, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You will know Jesus forever on that great last day. You will see Him face to face, eye to eye, and there's no fear. There will be great joy. For the old has now passed away, and the forever has come, and we will be forever in our Lord. He in us, we in Him, we with the Father forever. And we know this is the truth. For today, Jesus announces to all of you, I will not leave you. I will come to you, and I will announce to you that all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.